Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is helping young people understand more about who they are, where they're going, and how they can get there to live a life of purpose, direction, and feeling of success, all ingredients to feeling happy. Please welcome the founder of Highlight Coaching, Jessica Villegas. What's going on, Jessica?
Not a whole lot, you know, living the dream, hanging out with all these young people.
I love it.
How's it going?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Thank you so much for taking time to be with me and during my lunch break. What's your go-to lunch or sandwich?
Oh, man. Okay. I prepared for this because I knew you were going to ask me about my go-to sandwich. So when I am in the Orlando area, I love to go to Pom Pom's and get the Mama Ling Ling's Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep. Thanksgiving sandwich. Yep.
Thanksgiving sandwich. This is my favorite.
Yes. That is one of my favorites. Do you know how, out of curiosity, do you know why that's on the menu?
No. Why?
So I had Pom. Pom's been a previous guest. I have a relationship with Pom. I love Pom. And one of the reasons being is when their family came to the States, they wanted to learn. That was like one of the main things that the mom, like her family wanted to learn how to make was a Thanksgiving dinner. And so that's one of the reasons why they actually did that. And that's why it's an homage to her family because of, you know, Mama Ling Ling, to be able to, you know, as an homage to her family for something that they wanted to have as like an American tradition.
I love that.
I know, right? It's a great sandwich too. So definitely a staple in Orlando. They've been here forever.
For sure.
So tell people a little bit about what made you decide to start Highlight Coaching.
Oh, there's not a little bit to tell there. It's a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
I'll try to keep it as short as possible. So
keep it lunch break short. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I was young, teenager, high school, I knew that I wanted to create a new legacy for myself. I'd come from a family that did not create a good legacy for themselves. There was a lot of poor choice making. My dad, when I was a freshman in high school, went to prison. My mom went to drug rehab. And by the time I graduated high school, I had moved 27 times. So throughout high school, I didn't know how to achieve anything. Like, all I knew was what was provided to me, which was not a successful template. And, you know, graduating high school, going into college, doing all of that, I had to figure it all out for myself. I graduated from UCF with 365 college credits and a bachelor's degree. So if you can imagine, that's a lot of changing majors, really getting to know myself. It cost a lot of money, a lot of frustration, a lot of time. Although I am a lifelong learner, that was quite a long time to be in college. And then I moved into the corporate space, doing, you know, hospitality for 13 years and then supply chain management for 7 years. And what I saw a lot of in the corporate space was young people who were very similar to me, young people who were coming from all walks of life, not connected with who they were, where they wanted to go, how they could get there. Some of them come from affluence and others, you know, similar backgrounds to mine. So I was a little perplexed as to, you know, how we could be so similar. And I did a lot of root cause analysis when I worked in supply chain. That was just like part of the conversation is, why are things not moving as efficiently and effectively as they could be? And what is the root cause? And how can we fix the root cause to fix the bottom line? And as I was, you know, using those skills, I started thinking about young people. And then I started thinking about how I impact young people in this, you know, in my leadership style. And then I started just kind of connecting my younger self with these kids who, again, came from all walks of life. And what was the root cause of that? What did I need when I was a teenager? And what could they have used to then be able to be better aligned with where they were going as they're fresh out of college, pre-med students working in logistics? That's a big one, right? Like 75% of kids who graduate college, they don't even work in their field of study. That's a big one. how can we prevent some of this? Yeah. Right. So like, how can we prevent some of this? And root cause analysis, going back to what I saw working really well in the corporate space and what works really well for humans, I created this program. And the program really spawned during the height of the pandemic when youth mental health was really hitting the headlines. And yeah, I just started like lining up some thoughts and Highlight was born. I started doing it solo. Did that for about a year and a half. And then here we are almost 4 years into it. And we're around 15 to 17 coaches nationwide.
That's amazing. No, yep. That's that truly is. That is some awesome to be able to do. Is there like an underlying, like, I guess something that a thread that you kind of notice in the consistency? I mean, everything from what you're seeing, and we'll kind of turn it into everything from where you're kind of coaching and having, you know, young adults and young professionals to maybe small business owners, even like you're even starting out. Like, have you seen a common thread when it comes to something like that, where it's like the in the levels of trying to either success or trying to figure out what it is that you want to do?
Yeah. Values. Common theme. Like when we know what our values are, we know what's most important to us. That is like the backboard of all decision making, right? When you think about big challenges that come your way, big things that you really aren't sure which way to go. Maybe you're on the fence, maybe you're 60%, maybe you're 40%. I'm not really sure. And then a lot of us, what we do is we turn to like social media, we're Googling, what would you do? What would they do? But they aren't you and you don't know what their values are. And a lot of us will make decisions based on external influence or pressure. And we have a tendency to move away from intrinsically what we know is important to us. So then we make decisions based on all of those external things. And we hit 30, 40, 50 years old and we're like, how did I get here? Well, probably because there was something you weren't listening to a long time ago. And I think that that's one of the biggest things with young people is helping them connect with their values and helping them learn how to leverage those values in everyday decision-making.
Yeah, no, I think that's phenomenal advice. So I met Jessica, we both had the honor a few years ago to be on, and I know she's done it numerous times. She did it recently this year for the UCF Alumni Networking Night. And I got introduced, I was part of a panel and I absolutely loved her message when I started following her, and I've been following her since. And it was just something that I knew I kind of wanted to chat with her more. And I thought she'd be a great guest because there's so many underlining things that you, even though you're teaching, which is great because you're teaching in the beginning, things that I wish I knew. You know, like you said, things that I wish I knew, or at least have now known because of all these years. But it's like, obviously, if I can get a shortcut, that would make a heck of a a heck of a lot easier. Mm-hmm. You know, so I thought you'd be great to chat with. I kind of want to talk about one of the things I saw recently you posted about success. And you mentioned recently that success feels like betrayal and leaving your old self behind, tied to your past and expectations. And I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about that because I sometimes think it, and well, I'll let you answer this and then I'm going to ask you a question about it because I'm kind of curious on your thoughts on that idea of success.
So it feels like betrayal like that. Like,
yeah.
For me, from where I come from, like Section 8 housing, food stamps, lots of trauma, lots of abuse, lots of the opposite of encouragement, discouragement, going to college, starting my own business, getting married, having kids, not having a stressful, toxic lifestyle. I was told by my family that I thought I was better than them because I didn't pursue that lifestyle. And leaving my small town, I'm from Beaufort, South Carolina. It's very small. And like leaving my small town behind, leaving behind a lot of the roots and the values that I was taught as a child, which weren't good, and becoming my own person and creating my own legacy it definitely feels like betrayal.
Yeah.
Because I'm like renewing myself with every accomplishment, with every like goal that I achieve. I'm becoming a new version of myself, and it requires me to like leave old Jessica behind. And I don't know, it creates a turbulence within you to be successful. And I'm not like wildly successful in all the ways that some people might define success. I'm successful in my own way of definition, but it does feel like betrayal because I'm not the 10 years ago Jessica, and I'm not the 5 years ago Jessica, and I'm definitely not the 15-year-old Jessica.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about it, especially from in listening to your story, like the fact of wanting to do, I mean, a lot of times that can just kind of, it's almost like drown you, you know, like the idea of the values, you can almost drown in that and be like, well, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm supposed to be, type of thing. And it takes a lot of courage, just like, you know, same idea in a small scale, like starting a business or starting something, like takes a lot of courage to be able to kind of be like, no, I do deserve this. And I think it's almost like, I this is kind of where I was kind of curious of when we're talking, because as you started talking and mentioning that, I kind of felt like success and failure, obviously it's a coin. You can go one way or the other, but there's also like that fear. There is fear on both sides. Like there's fear of people. Yeah. Like what if I do succeed and they don't, there's fear in that aspect, which is just as sometimes as crippling as what if I fail and I don't do anything. So then you're kind of stuck in that spot where you're like, I don't know what to do or where to go, which direction to go, or, you know, or like, oh, like, why can't I feel like I want to succeed? You know what I mean? Like everyone should want to have that feeling, but sometimes it's a mental roadblock. And what you're saying, like a value that you're kind of like having, like, I do have that value. I do deserve these things to be able to have those.
Yeah. But I mean, like to your point, you either level up or you stay the same. If you stay the same, you get to keep what you have. Right. But if you level up, you're going to have to let some things go. And that's going to look like habits. It's going to look like people, right? The same people that were cheering me on when I started my business are not the same people cheering me on now.
Amen.
The same people who were cheering me on 15 years ago are not the same people in my corner now.
Yeah.
We have to be willing to let those things go as we pursue our dreams. And that's scary. And it definitely feels like we're betraying a piece of ourselves.
Yeah. You also said something that I really love, that success doesn't care if you feel like it. Success only exists for people putting in the work. And it's so true, because it's very easy to talk it and very easy to say you want it, but and it kind of goes to something else that you talked about, which we'll get to as well, that I love about like motivation and having the conviction and, you know, to want to do those things. So I mean, I think that's kind of the battle that I think we all kind of deal with sometimes when it comes to those things in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it doesn't. Success only exists for the person who's going to get up and work hard for it that day. I mean, when you look at like the psychology behind sports and what makes people so great, they're great because they get up and they do what's required. They show up at the gym first. They're doing things in the dead of the night when everybody else is sleeping. They're doing things that the other 99% aren't willing to do. And that right there is what sets you apart. That's the differentiator in anything. It could be anything. It could be making sandwich t-shirts. It could be coaching kids. It could be being like teacher of the year or Steve Jobs, right?
Yeah.
Those types of people are willing to go above and beyond. They're willing to like take the path less traveled. And again, you have to be willing to leave everybody else behind, because once you start to stand out and once you start to accumulate that following or that success out in the marketplace or wherever it may be, a lot of those people that were your cheerleaders become your haters. And that's where the courage lies, right? to keep going and not be afraid. There's this really great book, The Courage to Be Disliked. I can't remember the authors right now, but you have to have the courage to be disliked if you're going to do anything that shakes up the market or is revolutionary or standing out from a crowd.
Why do you think, you said it a few times now, and I'm kind of curious about that, because I've never really heard anyone say it, or I've never even thought of it. But why is it that you think that the ones that were cheering you on in the beginning aren't cheering you on when you are reaching that success? Why do you think those cheerleaders change? What do you think kind of attributes to something like that?
I think it's you are a mirror for them for the things that they're not willing to do. And so when you succeed and they don't, I mean, or if you become wildly successful, they will say things like you got lucky, but they don't want to admit the fact that you actually just put your nose down. You're willing to sacrifice your life, disappear for a year, give up all of everything, go all in to be successful. You were willing to do that and they weren't. And that people don't like to be shown their weaknesses. And I think that's the biggest contributor.
No, I think that's to that. As I mentioned the motivation part, I love, like, I think it was like motivation versus being committed was what you had. It's like there's so many things that I'll listen to. It's almost like you do like mini TED Talks sometimes when you just start talking. And I appreciate that. And I'm kind of curious when you do that and you kind of, because one, I feel like it's one of those things where you open yourself up and share. When you do that, do you do that one for obviously to have other people be able to listen and actually, you know, kind of help someone else? But is it also a part where you're also maybe doing it so you hear it yourself? I'm just kind of curious.
I think I live in my head a lot. I like to read books. I listen to podcasts. I'm a very internal person. I think a lot. I pick things apart. And it's just me saying things out loud that honestly, I'm being vulnerable. I don't say a whole lot of the things that are in my head out loud very often. And I don't let people in to understand how I work. And I'm getting better at that. And so I put those things out there to get used to maybe hearing it out loud, yeah. But also just to allow people in. I'm not, anybody who's close to me will tell you, like, I have a poker face. You don't know what I'm thinking. They don't know these deep, dark tunnels in my head.
You, on this journey that you've been on, I'm always kind of curious about people and how they kind of work on, like, do you have like mottos, affirmations, or anything that do you, any, like any kind of like daily routines that you do to kind of get you, into that proper mind space? Cause obviously it's, there's the values and everything that you're kind of doing, the commitment to doing those things, but you also have to have that self-confidence to be able to also kind of do those things. And sometimes that motivation or even like a mantra or something, do you have something like that you use or follow during on a course on a day to day or when things get tough?
I think really, I just look at what the work that I do is my duty. It is my duty to help my younger self. It is my duty to find people who need my resources and find a way to get it to them, whether it's partnering with a nonprofit and, you know, being able to offer the resources for free or whatever the case may be. It is my duty to do what I do every day because there's people who are out there that need it. But back to the motivation thing, like I don't believe in motivation. Like motivation is a fleeting emotion. Dedication is a whole different conversation. You want it or you don't. A lot of people talk about motivation. How can I get motivated? Let me read this daily affirmation or let me read this quote. Like for me, it's like motivation. You're waiting for something to arrive, like the mail. Right? It could come. It might not. Maybe there's somebody blocking your mailbox. Like you're waiting for something to arrive to you. But if you're committed, you're showing up and you're doing your duty every single day to the promise you made to yourself.
Yeah.
I kind of think that motivation is BS.
No. And I love that because I get asked often sometimes when I'm like, you know, especially when you start doing a lot of things, I have a lot of people go sometimes be like, why do you do this? Or how do you find the time to do that and do this? And it's because you want to, you're dedicated to it. You want to do it. And I think that's the key, is that if you want something bad enough and you really are, committed to it and dedicated to it, you will find the time to put into it, whether it's a little bit of time every day or a lot of time, but you will put put that time into it in order to become a better version of yourself. And, and at the same time, I tell people, I'm like, it's not like even if you spend, I've heard many people talk about this, even if you spend 20 minutes on a skill every single day, by the end of the year, you know how much you've already now amassed so much more experience than so many people. And so a lot of times, and that's one of the reasons why I started the podcast, was because I wanted to hopefully have people hear it from other people, see different, like, you, it doesn't matter what the hell, how crazy the idea could be. You're not that your idea is crazy, but mine, obviously, in the beginning, I used to tell people like, hey, it's a weird sandwich brand. And people would be like, why would you do that? And why is it so niche? It doesn't matter. It's something I'm dedicated and I love and I'm doing it, but you got to put the time into it in order to make it work.
Yeah. And you do an amazing job. This is like the coolest concept. I love it. I actually was showing your stuff off to this guy who does, he does coffee. He's a coffee consultant. And right now he's working with a local coffee bar, barista, kind of thing out here in my area of town. And, I was just like, check out this guy. He's so cool. He has all these really great t-shirts and it's just fun, right?
You're very creative.
I love creative people. So
thank you. And I definitely appreciate that. And I love the work that you're doing, because I see that you do everything from, you guys are doing a little bit of everything. And I'm kind of curious, you've created a team. You've grown the coaching and consulting, like you mentioned. What would you say is your favorite part of your success, and what do you think has been the hardest in starting this and the outcomes from it?
My favorite part of my success is when parents come to me and they tell me that they've got their child back. The child that once seemed so engaged that then slipped off and couldn't make a decision, couldn't, really engage in their life and make, wise choices. For them to come to me with tear-filled eyes and say, I have my kid back, or my kid just accomplished this like amazing thing that they've been trying to accomplish for a while, or I had no idea that my kid was interested in this and we're so good, we're so well connected now. Like, that kind of feedback is magical for me. It makes all of the sacrifice worth it. And I think the hardest thing has really been helping families and young people to see the value in the program that we provide. We're life coaches, right? But we have a success framework that works and it's scalable. I can teach it to you when you're 15. You can take this with you until you're 50. It literally works across your whole entire life. And to be taught these life skills early, to understand who you are, who am I, and my values, where am I going? That's my vision. How am I going to get there? That's my mission. Who has those three things?
Yeah.
Target, Microsoft, Apple, huge businesses that are wildly successful. We need to have that as individuals, right? It needs to become a staple of our life. So, like, it's been the hardest thing selling that value. But now that we have, just being really bought into your concept as a business owner. If you believe in it and you're passionate about it, everybody else will too. You just got to keep going and knocking on the doors, right?
Yeah. Put your head down and go. And that's kind of, that's a tough one sometimes because I'm pretty sure during your 4 years, you must have experienced some moments where, and maybe you haven't, and if you haven't, that's great. But like, you must have had some of those moments where you kind of, sometimes you're like, I know I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm committed to this. I know I'm going to make this work. But then there's got to be some times where you're going to get those stumbling roadblocks, or you're going to have those moments of doubt where you're like, damn, I'm like, am I doing it? And it's not doing it where it's like, am I doing it where I'm like, I'm going to like get to be like this, whatever. It's just like, sometimes you feel like you're pushing. Like, I have, I have this, and I'll stand up and I'll grab it in a second. I have this, I have a bunch of stuff on in my office, as you can see maybe above.
Yeah.
But I have this one thing that my parents had in their house, and I took it with me, and I took it from work, and it's a man pushing a boulder. It's like a little figure, and it's a man pushing a boulder, and I kept it. And the reason I kept it, and it's funny because I'm getting emotional as I think about it now, because as you were saying that, I looked up and I saw it. Because to me, that sometimes it's like that aspect of that. It's amazing that difference of like you not giving up and not that extra push that you could have done if you would have just dedicated more time to it, or at least pushed a little bit more, and you would have gotten to where you needed to then just giving up and failing. And sometimes it's like a very minute, it's sometimes minute, the difference of failure from success to failure. And so it's, that's the toughest part, I think. And I can only imagine based on your, on like, on kind of like what you've created, your framework on being able to give those, give folks that confidence to be able to want to continue to do that and say, yes, I'm on the right path. I just need to continue on it. That whole put your head down and go thing.
Having faith and being fully bought in. And like you said, I've seen this image before, the boulder is just like inches from the top, right? And you can't see over it. All you can do is keep pushing. And like the average business owner quits 6 months too soon, right? Like you can't expect to go into anything. Anything in life that's important is not going to be easy. It's not going to be quick. Those things that are important in life, they're going to take work. That's relationships, it's marriage, it's parenting, it's business ownership. Because if any of that was easy, everybody would be doing it and then no one would be successful, right? Because it would just be like a standard, be like breathing, right?
No, I love that. I love that. What, so talk a little bit about some of the things. I know you guys do, you do group, you do some group coaching. I know you do individual one-on-one coaching as well. And I know that obviously you guys do things for an, in a larger scale. I've seen some of the things that you've done, like at the YMCAs and things like that, like a larger scale type things. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of how it kind of started, like where you kind of, I'm just always kind of curious. I like, cause, you know, I'm assuming it took baby steps. You kind of like developed what you were at and then from there kind of grew the message and then kind of kept growing it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when I started out, it was just me. And I was actually still working in transportation. I was just doing this on the side. I had a couple private clients. And then as things started to gain momentum and some things started happening in the community with teen mental health, I just quit my job one day, literally January 3rd, 2022, 2021. I can't even remember, two years and some months ago. And then other people started seeing what I was doing and asking if they could join my team. And I was like, okay, sure. I'm not hiring. I don't know what this means, but let's try it. I'm a very like croissant shaped business. I let things flow in. I'm going to entertain things versus like,
That. Rather than saying no, you're going to entertain it.
Yeah. The donut, like we're closed off. My ideas only. I took other ideas and now we have a team, but I started with just private coaching. And then, Bob, one of my key coaches, he was like, oh yeah, we could try piloting this group idea. So we piloted this group idea and that took off. One, it's more cost, you know, it's more affordable for families. But two, there's like that social emotional learning aspect where like if you and I, we shared our values at the table and then I'm like, actually I never thought about it that way before, right? There's something that happens in a group environment for learning.
Yeah.
Especially for teenagers, they really need to understand they're not in it alone. So yeah, we do one-on-one coaching. We do the group programs. We also do like workshops. So we go and we will like workshop with businesses that hire young people, schools that educate young people, parent workshops. We collaborate with a lot of other businesses that work in the education space. I do keynote speaking. So like we've done some pretty large events around that. And then we can break out and do workshops outside of the keynote. Cause I've got a sizable team. We can all just like teach what we inspired from the stage with, we can go and then teach it in workshop styles. But yeah, we do a lot of different things. And then I also do consulting with parents and we offer parent coaching and we're going to roll out some virtual programs pretty soon.
That's awesome. That's that's really cool. I love the I think that's kind of the key element to, like, when it comes to, like, growth mindset and stuff like that, having that aspect of, I tell people it's kind of the idea of, like, how adaptable are you? How open are you to it versus how closed-minded are you? When you're closed-minded, your things aren't going to flow. Sometimes you may have an idea when you start a business, you know, and like in general things where you're like, this is what I want to do. And then you're closed-minded and it's like, you're very tunnel focused.
Yeah.
And you don't look at what else can come from it, or you don't, like, and you're not adaptable. And then what ends up happening is then it does become where it's like, oh, well, if I would have been more open and I could have seen maybe my business flows a different way, or maybe I should be doing something different in the same, and who knows, maybe it's the same realm. Like, I think back to, like, obviously I have a daughter who's sooner or later will be needing to figure out what she needs to. She's in that phase now where going about, you know, thinking of college and things like that. What do I don't want to be when I grow up? And obviously as a parent, you know, and I'm one of those where I'm trying to teach her in the aspect of, hey, I studied marketing, but I didn't do marketing as my job. I do HR as a corporate job, and it's not what I like it, but that's not what I wanted, you know. And the funny part is, when you said that 75% don't actually do what they studied, I also know that because I used to be a telecounselor and I used to do walking tours at UCF, and I remember hearing, and I think the number maybe even has gone up even more, people that when they go and apply for college, they, like, you know, you start off with one major and they usually average about five major changes during their college career, which I could see that if you don't know what you want, don't know what you like, or don't know where you're going, you then get influenced by others. You know, like, oh, that sounds kind of cool, I think I'd like that. And then you get into it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I don't really like that, I'm going to go do something else. And then you're like ping ponging. And then at the end, you're like, well, I got to settle on something because I want to get out of college. So I have that diploma so I can get a job.
Yep. Look, I got it. Finally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it. I mean, granted, I tell my daughter now at least will jokingly tell me, and that's the one reason, one of the things I at least can, I'm very happy about, is my daughter at least goes, well, you are using your marketing degree because you're using it for your business. And I said, yes. I'm like, yes, but it took me to have to create it. And I took way longer than I should have to be able to do that. But it was because I was committed to basically going the route of, like, I need to make a change. I need that fulfillment, is really what it comes down to. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I even do this podcast, because I want to be able to help, hopefully inspire someone to be able to want to do something regardless of what it is, whether it's a hobby or whatever, but get off their ass and stop talking about it. Cause I can't take it anymore.
Action equals results. There is no other way. You have to take action.
100% correct. Which is, I love exactly what you're, I love what you're giving and what you're sharing. That's why when I saw all the things that you're doing, I was like, man, I'm like, not just young adults need to hear this. I think adults just in general sometimes need a reset, or at least be, you know what? Like, I need to figure out my values and figure out where I need to go and what I need to do. And how am I going to get there? I got to work it, and I got to do it and go from there.
Absolutely.
So as a small business, and we kind of talked a little bit about this with idea of failure and stuff like that. Can you give me some examples or some things that you kind of, you know, people can kind of look at? You know, I think a lot of times it's all about the mindset aspect. So a lot of times people will look at failure and be like, well, you know, I don't want to fail. I just don't want to fail. And they create that roadblock, you know, and do you have something? I mean, I'm assuming a lot of young adults have that where they're like, I don't want to fail. I don't want to let anyone down. And it's a lot of it is just not only themselves, but just in general, like I don't want to let my parents down. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to feel like a loser, even though, like, they're not, but they feel that way. Do you have, like, certain things that you kind of share with them, or techniques, or just kind of, like, thoughts, like how the, like, I guess, mind shifted thoughts of how they can kind of pursue or look at those things as when it comes to the idea of failure?
Yeah. I ask them, when was the last time that you failed at something, and what did you learn? And let's talk about your relationship with failure, right? We, One thing that we don't always acknowledge is what our relationship is with something that feels so uncomfortable. So maybe the last time you failed, alongside that came a really sharp disappointment lecture from your parents. Or maybe it came along with you getting fired from your job. What'd you learn there? Right? Like, what's your relationship with that? And why are we running so far in the opposite direction? Because there's so much to be learned when things don't go the way we want them to go. That's ultimately what a failure is. We have a perceived idea of an outcome. We are inflexible. We attach ourselves to it. And there's something called the seven laws of success. And one of those laws is the law of detachment. When we become attached to an idea, the failure is so much more painful. But when we can be more flexible and we can say, hey, you know what? Maybe I did disappoint my parents. I skipped school. You know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take ownership of it. I'm going to create a solution around it. We're going to move on, right? I skipped school. Yeah, mom and dad. Cool. I did. It was really not a great thing for me to do. I know I disappointed you. I'm not going to do that again. All right. Like, you got to take ownership of it. You have to reflect on what you learned, and then you have to take action on the learning. So helping us to understand what our relationship is with failure helps us to then be able to be more resilient in the face of it and see it as an opportunity to learn and grow, because it does make us a stronger person.
No, I absolutely being uncomfortable, being comfortable with being uncomfortable is part of it.
Yes. Right?
That's a big one. And that's a big
seeking discomfort. That's one thing that a lot of people don't do.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely correct. And I'm very honest on it. Like, that's one of the reasons for me, like, why it, for a long time, it was kind of like, I almost had a mixture of, like, that was my big thing. Cause I remember my wife, when I first started Deli Fresh Dreads, my wife said to me, don't make us go bankrupt. That was like the big one. She's like, as long as we don't go bankrupt and we don't lose the house, I'm down for whatever crazy idea you have. And
that's amazing. So there,
and which at the same time is also a part where I'm like, even though my wife may have been like, put it on black, you know what I mean? Like, one of those moments, I never got to that point where my brain triggered, but at the same time, I will say that through the years, I have become more comfortable being uncomfortable and trying to stretch myself to do more things and do other things, because that's the only way you can grow. And I've noticed that every time I do that, my business does grow and other opportunities follow from those opportunities. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the key on all of those things is that. So I totally agree with that. What advice would you give someone for wanting to start something?
Believe in yourself. Be courageous. A lot of us, we think there's like a psychological thing. Well, I don't feel very confident to do it. Where do I get the confidence from? Why are you so confident? How can I be confident like you, right? That's not what it is. It's the courage. It's the courage to stand in front of the audience and give the talk, even though your knees are shaking and your voice is shaking and you're breaking out in hives. I did all those things before, by the way. You just have to have courage to just keep going after it. That's where the confidence comes from. Have the courage to do the thing and you'll surprise yourself.
And believe in yourself that you can do it. I mean, you fall when you try to learn how to ride a bike, and then you just, and it just kind of clicks.
Yep.
It's the pushing of the boulder. It's kind of in that aspect. No, I think I'm enjoying having the opportunity to talk with you, because one, it's kind of like reminders to me, I think. And I think I'm hoping that folks listening to this will take something from it. Two, if they got kids, especially young adults, I think, trust me, I've had numerous conversations about what you're offering and what you do with my wife. If you can arm or give your child the tools And almost, it's almost kind of in like you said, like give them the three tools to be able to get them to know what like the framework of where it is. Think about like if you knew this when you were, you know what I mean? Like it's one of those things where, like if you, what can you tell yourself if you were younger? And if these were the things that you'd be like, hey, if you have this, guess what? I just bypassed you like 20 years of psychological issues that you'd be like, you'll be on a set for course for the future type of thing.
Well, we don't have that full on study yet because we're only 4 years old, but I can tell you that highlight is the cheat code. It's a cheat code for youth to help them really tap into where it is they want to go and how they can get there. But hey, you know, we're at the YMCA right now at Dr. Phillips, and anybody who wants to sign up for our program can do it for free.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think I'm very intrigued to see is like one of the things, because I know you mentioned virtual. Is there an idea or possible, and this may be something that you do, so that, and this will be a perfect time if you do have that, almost like kind of like online workshops where people can kind of go in and be able to listen to some of these, like, you know, pay a fee or whatever, and also be able to kind of do online. Not saying, I know a lot of people, it's kind of one of those things where I feel obviously one-on-one, when you get to have that group interaction, have that interaction with a human, it's a different aspect when it comes to those things, as opposed to watching virtual learning. Cause we've done enough of that, through COVID, but I was kind of curious, is that something that you guys also offer or have the opportunity or something that you guys think may be an opportunity to do?
So we will be in the next few months rolling out a self-paced program where you can just download it and go, which would make it more accessible financially. And then we are rolling out a virtual program for high school seniors and college freshmen together to talk about, you know, like it's almost like a Montessori approach, you know, the college freshmen teaching the high school seniors and going through the program together. So there will be a lot more offerings coming up very, very soon.
That's awesome. If folks wanted to learn more about you and about Highlight Coaching, how would they be able to follow you? Obviously, they'll be in the show notes as well, but give people an idea of like where they can follow you online, on social, and all those things.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that. You're welcome. So highlightcoaching.com, it's spelled phonetically. So it's HILITE. Highlightcoaching.com, Highlight Coaching on IG, Highlight Coaching on Facebook. And we're on TikTok and all those other things too. So if you just look up Highlight Coaching, you'll find us.
And it'll also be on the show notes, and you'll be able to obviously see it when I tag her on everything when the show comes on, and you'll be able to see it on our Instagram as well. Jessica, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and chat with me. I love being able to talk to people like you that are inspiring, not only like other, you know, other businesses, other folks based on what you're doing, but all the young adults. I think the earlier we can get to these folks and kind of help them, they are the future. And I totally believe that they're at a different place than we are, you know, and they're dealing with things way far greater than what we dealt with. Social media obviously being a big one. When it comes to that. So I definitely appreciate having the opportunity to be able to chat with you and kind of just, you know, spend some time with you today and my lunch break. So thank you so much.
It's been my honor. I really appreciate that you're interested in my work.
Heck yeah, man. I love it. I trust me. Like I told you, I'm like, I watch your stories. I watch all that stuff. I enjoy that. I enjoy, and I will say this, I know obviously you being saying very cerebral, I'm one of those where I'm not a poker face. What you see is what you get. But at the same time, I'm also very, I'm also one of those where I'm becoming a little bit more reserved on some of the things, because sometimes I do have like a diarrhea of the mouth where I just like my heart, I open it up and I just let it out, which is good and bad. But at the same time, I sometimes feel like I do it for myself, in the sense that I need to hear it, because you're right. Sometimes when you're going through the things of learning and growth, your cheerleaders, you'll have some folks that are always will be in your circle cheering you on, and they may be on the same path as you. But it's, for me, it's one of those where, at least for me in my world, is I'm okay with seeing people succeed because I'm on my own path. but I want to cheer them on. So I love seeing success for people around me. Like, that's one of the reasons why I love this show and seeing the successful guests that I've had, as like they go and they go on, like they've gotten better as, after I've had them. And it's not a me thing, because they were going that way anyhow. It's just one of those things where I know it's not a me thing, but I love seeing past guests just explode and like get bigger and better. Because it's something that I saw, obviously, that I saw the same thing, and it's something that drew me to them, you know, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I want to be able to sit and chat with them. So I definitely appreciate you taking the time to come chat with me. That's our show for today. Thank you so much to Jessica Villegas of Highlight Coaching for being on and having lunch with me. Definitely make sure check them out online. You know, obviously check out the show notes. You'll be able to see it on my Instagram as well and all my socials as well. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe. If you want to support me, check out my brand, Deli Fresh Threads. Make sure to tell your friends. And most of all, thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passions.